happy birthday, video games.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. I guess we should maybe talk about that, huh?
Yeah.
About how
very,
it's
very
sort
retro.
Of
sort of
the 40th birthday.
It's sort of Sharky's the 50th
He's been grousing
birthday,
at me all day.
Though.
He's been, like,
I'm grumpy.
He's been throwing knives
I'm as
at
grumpy
me.
As
with
as
knives.
With knives.
Yeah.
With Naibusu.
Yeah. Telling me all day about how there should have been a counterpoint to this article and how I'm not good enough doing my job and how he's going to kill me and take over.
I did no such thing.
Okay, Sharky and I are both bitter because we ran off. We stole from EGM two review copies of a book called Video Games in the Beginning.
Oh, yeah.
By Ralph Baer himself.
Which should be a better title, like 600 pages about why I invented video games
and
everybody else should shut
like
the fuck
the
up.
Book should be
by
titled,
a bitter, cantankerous old
Seriously,
fuck.
You guys, I did it. By Ralph Baer.
Yeah.
Should be the title of the book. And it's an incredible book that's just like archives of all of his like schematics.
Yeah, his
and all of his right, all of his patents.
And, yeah.
And every other paragraph is like, no, but seriously. And
yeah.
And so I was a little bit enamored that he contributed so heavily to this 40 Years of Games article that we published.
You know, I think we could just take him and Nolan Bushnell and those guys from Lawrence Livermore Labs or whatever and just give them pistols and let them fucking settle it.
Yeah.
Well, Nolan Bushnell has never ever said he invented video games.
No,
he has never even put himself in that position.
But half of this book was like tearing down that position that
Yeah,
right.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you have to understand.
There's
this guy who, I mean, I
understand why he's bitter. Okay.
Yeah, okay
I totally understand that. Except the way he goes about doing it is like every chapter he redefines what makes video games to fit his history. Seriously, I mean, he'll talk about like Tennis for Two. He said, he's just fucking around with oscilloscopes. He'll talk about Space Wars. Like, it's a bunch of kids on a PDP. It doesn't count. I understand that, yes, he's contributed a fucking lot to it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't just minimize everybody else's contribution to the thing by changing your definition.
I don't think he's trying to minimize people's contributions.
I think it's exactly
he's
trying what
he's trying
to show
why, no, that what he did was what got video games as we know them started. And that.
No, and I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah. I mean,
well, that's the tack that our author, Benj Edwards, took with this feature, which is to say that, you know, we're defining video games as television games.
Right.
There were other games before this. There was Tennis for Two, there was Space War. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
But the significance of this one date, you know, 40 years,
right.
May 15th, 1967.
Was it the release of the Odyssey?
No, the Odyssey was later.
No, is that
it was
that Pong demo thing he did.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. It was the fact that this was a game that could be played on a mass market, readily available consumer device that everyone had access
to. Sorry, what are we talking about, though?
Not the Odyssey.
But the invention of the brown box? Or, I mean, what?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, Benj Edwards actually deals with something really fascinating, which is although he's wishing video games a happy 40th, he also visits the conundrum, hey, when did video games start? And he says it not too explicitly, but he points out that if you care to look at like oscilloscope vector graphics as indeed a video game, then video games, you could say, began in 1958. So happy 49th birthday, video games. And he doesn't just stick with Baer. It's not like a wholly pro. Yes, Ralph Baer is the father of video games.
Right.
He's actually pointing out, no, it's really very, it's a very imprecise history. It's impossible to say when exactly.
Oh, it's an imprecise definition.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
you could say Ralph Baer was the first one to actually market video games, or the first one to make digital video games, as opposed to like analog thing on an oscilloscope.
Right.
Or, you know, but those are all a matter of definition. And when I buy a book called Video Games in the Beginning, I want to hear a history of video games.
See, the thing is that when you go to Willie Higginbottom, and I think this is a point that Baer made really
Thank you for actually remembering his name. It was making me nuts.
Oh, okay. Higginbotham.
Higginbotham, that's right.
I think it... Okay.
No, it was funny.
I don't know.
Many Higginbothams died for this information.
Willie Higginbotham. But if you go and you look at this, what he did, I mean, he did something that... As I've heard it explained, a lot of people with oscilloscopes were doing. They were just making up, you know, silly, like, demonstrations to the public. This is what an oscilloscope can do. This is a demonstration of how it can plot points.
But this was an electronic toy and a video game.
What,
it just wasn't digital.
Oscilloscope?
Yes.
Well, I don't.
It was
a game played on
a video display,
okay.
And it involved electronics.
We're getting off of the point. We'll come back to that in 1 second. But again, I think
when you say you mean you. Yeah.
In terms of I want to make the point that he was using the functions of the oscilloscope to do what the oscilloscope does, which is to plot vector graphics, and just doing it in a fun way with absolutely.
Are you saying the point of TV is not to make raster graphics?
With absolutely no. Notice I'm just ignoring you now.
Yeah.
With no, intent to like actually turn this into a product, which is what you were saying that Bear was the first person to actually make a.
So marketing is the definition.
Product of it. No, marketing isn't the definition. But what he was actually making an actual video game where you could keep score and stuff like that as well. At the same time, you're talking about digital video games. I think wasn't the brown box pretty much analog?
It was.
Was there anything digital about it? No. I think it
I don't
was
think
pretty much
digital video games came around.
So, the distinction is even more arbitrary then.
Well, in the article, he did a really good job of explaining the difference between all these different types of graphics for people who aren't like video heads or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like what I got from it was that like an oscilloscope wasn't actually a video display as like a television is because of the tubes or. You could tell I don't know, and I needed his little explanations.
Yeah, right.
But, like...
Well, ultimately, I think the important distinction is, like I said before, it was, Bear's invention was for something that everyone could play.
Yeah, right.
Not everyone had access to a PDP mainframe. That
right,
was, like,
yeah.
for like military applications and oscilloscopes, right.
Yeah.
Right, oscilloscopes and mainframe computers both were not accessible to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas his idea, from the beginning was to create something that could be sold, that could be marketed.
Mm-hmm.
But the important thing is that it was accessible. It was out there for the public.
But by that definition, that last Tekken arcade game wasn't a video game at all. Because no one could afford it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm just saying.
You can definitely draw a direct line between Spaceborne and the PDP-1 to what Bear
computer
did
space,
Pong, even
or,
though
no.
he really didn't...
No, computer space was...
Well, yeah,
right.
Well, that's that you can draw a really direct line. It's very, very short. But no, you can draw a line between what the people at MIT were doing versus what Ralph Bear was doing. I mean, it was a very, very, very similar concept. But the... Tennis for Two... was sort of this vague, nebulous thing off somewhere else that, nobody had ever heard of until in a lawsuit, somebody, when Bear was, trying to enforce his rights to video games in general, somebody came up with that to say, somebody looked and found this thing that had happened that to that point no one had ever heard of and had touched a very, very, very small number of people to say, look, this is what somebody did, once. But and Bear was... successful in essentially proving that what he was doing was significantly different enough. And really, my issue is not so much that Willie Higginbottom didn't do anything. Obviously it's a really interesting thing to think about, but so much that people want to credit him as the father of video games.
Do they? I don't think they do.
My problem is with people who do, and I've read a lot of people, writing who do credit him with that, and who started.
Well, again, it all depends on how you define the fucking thing.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not
video games should have a sitcom called My Three Dads because really there is no one father of video
games. Again, I'm not saying that like everybody thinks like this, but it does kind of annoy me when some people do just because. If you look at the actual impact that these guys had, Ralph Bear had a huge, tremendous impact, whereas Willie Higginbottom pretty much
I agree that he had a huge, tremendous impact. I really enjoyed the article because it really presented a nice argument for Bear as the real
except his entire life at this point is presenting a nice argument for Bear.
And that's why I really enjoyed it, because this was actually the first full-fledged argument for Bear's father in games I'd read that had not been written by Ralph Bear himself.
Right.
And so it was really lovely reading an article that, because he kind of undermines his argument when he's making it. But when you have that nice quote, like those quotes from Steve Wozniak, and I was just like, that is so cute. Why is that cute? Because
Steve Wozniak is, he's like a giant teddy bear on a Segway.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Well, how is a teddy bear on a Segway not adorable?
I really enjoyed that. Now, of course, I thought that video games in the beginning was just hilarious. Sharky was actually, I think, more irritated by it than I was.
He's still fuming.
I thought it was hilarious. I wasn't as angry at the book as Sharky was, because I felt like, admittedly, this was a slant, and he was adding it to the sum total information. Which is how Howard Zinn once said a people's history of the United States is supposed to be interpreted. It's extreme, but you don't take it alone. You add it to the sum total, and now things are a little more objective.
My history books weren't written by crazy people that were involved in it.
All right. Okay. There's that point, too. But
there's points where he goes off on the Game Boy camera. There was a suit about that because he had the idea of putting people's faces in video games with Journey.
Yeah.
And it's just that's stretching a bit.
Yeah,
and it is full of a lot of stretching and a lot of nebulous fuzzy areas, and honestly, none of it matters.
And none of it
nihilism is
Jeremy,
the ultimate argument.
The last 20
well, no,
minutes.
Because there's no definition of what the fuck a video game is. And I mean, you can say how many people it involved, or how accessible it was, or was it digital, was it analog, what was a display device. Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck it, okay?
Let's just say we don't know what video games are, but we know it when we see it.
Yeah.
Sure.
I like that. And they're between 40 and 100 years old. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday.
Okay. Well, I don't know. We just have a desire, I think, especially as, you know, Americans with our pioneer spirit and everything, to
draw arbitrary lines and give people credit who don't deserve it.
No, we want to know who the one person is who came up with something like that. Like, that's why we like when we look at, you know,
sure.
Whatever, a big team project, we want to know who the one guy is.
Right.
That's why everyone says Shigeru Miyamoto is responsible for everything Nintendo does.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
When it goes both ways, too, because you also pick one guy for blame.
Yeah.
We do it both ways?
Mm-hmm.
No, I
we
agree.
Do.
Right.
Actually, that's more of a Japanese mindset. That. Finding someone to take the fall.
Yeah.
To apologize to the public and take a demotion.
No, I think...
It's called kuturagid.
Oh.
It's a new word for seppuku.